So you guys, if you don't know me, I'm Michael and I'm one of the pastors here, and we get to continue in our series, Equipped. I wanted to start off by thinking about parachuting. Have you ever noticed when people are about to jump out of an airplane, they give you a helmet? If both chutes failed, can you please tell me what that helmet will be good for? I kind of think it's like one of those moments where you put it on, you go, all right, I'm safe, I'm good to go. But really, if you think about it, like that, if both chutes failed, that helmet will not stop a darn thing from impending doom. I hope we all just can quickly recognize that, because that's not like the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is this impenetrable helmet that's been given by Christ. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. I loved this series on the armor of God. And I just want us to remember, when we think about every piece of the armor, we are clothing ourselves with the identity of Christ and the victories of Christ. And the one we are putting on our head to protect what I would say the most important part of your body, the head, it's Christ's salvation that he purchased for you and for me by dying on the cross for your sins and mine. That's what we are being told to put on to protect us and give us confidence to fight. So if I were to sum up the main theme, if you could remember one thing, it's this. Wearing the helmet of salvation gives us more than just hope for our eternal home, but also confidence for battle today. That's what I believe the helmet of salvation gives us. And I think so much more, but that's really where we're going to be sticking it ourselves today, with these two ideas, that Jesus' salvation gives us an eternal home, right? As well as it gives us confidence for battle today. And sometimes we don't see that about salvation. Often we think of salvation as something I get to cash in when I'm dead, right? That's the moment that salvation matters. And what I would love to just immediately say is, I believe it's more than that. I believe it's something also for strength and confidence for today. And that's why we're told to wear it into battle against the evil one, which we see in Ephesians 6. But today, to really try to tie it all together, we're really going to plop ourselves down in Galatians 6, 14 through 16, which says this: May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the one Israel of God. We see here what I think I'm trying to communicate, that it's not anywhere else where we're going to have the confidence to truly stand. What's really going to protect me from all the things of this world and even the things that could happen to me? What's going to give me confidence to stand? Remember, if you need to go read it again, I'm not going to be reading it today as we've read it every week. Ephesians 6, where he says three times, once you've done everything to stand, then stand. What's really going to give you confidence to keep standing? What's the strength going to be? Remember, it's nothing of ourself. It's all of Christ. This armor is not me putting on my salvation. It's me putting on Christ's salvation. And that's what's going to give us confidence to stand. Here he says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Once I am in Christ, I am a new creation. What matters is that, what Christ has purchased for me so that I might become a new creation. What did he say? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And if a man wants to live again, what must he do? He must be born again. Right? So this idea of being a new creation where I can have my confidence really means I have died to myself and have accepted my salvation in Christ. And that's where I can have confidence. And he says here, not in circumcision. You see, in Israelite's day, that's like following the law. If I follow the law, if I am just righteous enough, that will give me confidence to stand against the schemes of the devil, and that'll give me confidence to stand against those who come against me because I have my righteousness to lean on. And Paul himself said, hey, guys, if there's anyone who can boast, it's me. I can boast. Look at all that I've done. Remember, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. But what does he say about it? I count it all as loss for the case of Christ. And that's what he's saying here. Circumcision means nothing. Our righteousness is only strong enough, really, in our own heads, as long as I'm staying to that righteousness. But really, in reality, it's not enough. Because one thing here it is. What happens when you stumble? What happens when you aren't as righteous as you claim to be? You know, you actually slip up. You take that double take at that person walking down the road because you think they're gorgeous. That time that you just do a white lie. What about your righteousness then? And what about the big things then? You know, what if you really cross the line in a major way? What about then? So that's even within the faith. If I trust my righteousness, it's not strong enough. It's not strong enough. I need Christ's salvation because it doesn't move. And the other one would be like for the non-Christian, or the person who still trusts in the things of this world. You know, if I trust in my success, what happens? If that's my assurance of what gives me confidence to keep moving, what happens when my success goes away? What happens if I lose my job? What happens if I lose my health? There it goes. There goes my confidence of what I leaned on. But rather, our confidence is in Jesus. The song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful song. So simple. But the story, I don't know if you know the story behind it. It's not that old. The Welsh Revival, when that took place, this huge movement took place. A place where tons of people left after the Welsh Revival and became missionaries. And the person who wrote this, the song is inspired by, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, is about a husband and wife and their two kids go to India and go to proclaim the gospel to these small little villages. And when they get there, the chief, when the father is proclaiming the message, he says, stop proclaiming the message or I will kill your family. And that's when he says the famous words, I have decided to follow Jesus. And he goes on to martyr the two kids. And then he says, I'll do the same. The chief then says to the husband who is proclaiming Jesus, he says, I'll do it again if you will not renounce the name of Jesus. And that's when he says the next famous line, no turning back. And he martyrs this man's wife. He says, I'll end your life if you don't. Sure enough, he also loses his life, saying again, no turning back. I've decided to follow Jesus. You see, the hope that Jesus gives us with the helmet of salvation does not promise us physical guarantees for our life. You know, in fact, this world is not promised to us. But what is, and where this guy had confidence to stand tall in truly the worst circumstance you could possibly think of, what gave him strength to stand was his salvation, that he knew where his kids were going. He knew where his wife was going, and he knew where he was going. And he stood tall. Well, here's actually the other half of the story. That chief who killed this family was so moved by this man's unwillingness to relent in denying Christ. He says, whatever that guy had faith in, I want that. That chief ended up giving his life to Jesus. And that chief ended up leading most of his own village to Christ. Because a man stood in the confidence of what cannot be taken, because it's Christ that gave him this helmet that he got to wear. What a beautiful story, hey? So here, it really gives us this idea. This guy was able to keep his head. And what I mean in that is like almost a sports analogy term. He didn't lose the eternal perspective of what he was fighting for. If he was fighting for this world's life, he would have denied Jesus. But he was fighting for something eternal. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here." We are new creations in Christ now. I'm new in Him. And what comes with that is actually the transformation of our mind. You know, do not be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. We gain a new way of thinking when we're in Christ, right? So we put the helmet of salvation on, and it's almost what comes with it is it's the protection from the things of this world, but even the way that the world thinks. You know, the guy would have fought against it, right? He would have fought the message or would have denied Christ. But here you don't see that. You see him stand tall with the message of Jesus. And that's kind of what we get when we get the renewal of our mind. It begins to change the way we completely think when we wear all that comes with the helmet of salvation. We no longer think about the things of this world, but we think about the things of Christ. When we begin to get our new minds, we think even differently about spending money. Think about this. You know, like before you would save money and you would be looking forward to purchasing a car. And you'd go, man, I just can't wait to get that car. But once in Christ, you can look at that same amount of money and go, think about how much we could do with this money. Before in Jesus, you would never think like that. You would never do that. Because you've been changed by the power of Jesus within your head. A great example is the Schindler's List. At the end of the movie, a guy who he takes in Jews during World War II, and at the end of the movie, he saves like over 800 people, but he begins to grab these last items he still owns to his name. He says, this pen, this could have saved one life. That car, 12 more people. This coat, right? It's a different way of thinking. And that's what we get when we have a renewed mind in Jesus. We begin to think differently. And we have the ability to keep our heads and not lose it. I think about sports. You know, the worst thing that can really happen to an athlete is he can lose his head. The purpose of the game is to win the game. And what stops you from doing that effectively is when you lose your head. My one friend was so bad at losing his head. When we all graduated from university, we were all still in Calgary. People would call me, or I was saying I was putting together a soccer team, and people would call me, or when I was calling them, they said to me, I don't want to be on the team if said person will be on there, because he would just lose it. In key times too, when the pressure got heavy, he would lose it. You know, he was the guy who would take a foul in our own penalty box because he just was out of control. And then you're like, dude, come on. So you can't lose your head. And what protects us from that is really the helmet of salvation. There's nothing stronger because it's not based on circumstances. It's based on what Christ has given us and what no one can touch. This eternal perspective where my hope lies. My hope is not in the things of this world, but in the one to come. And that's what we're being saved from. We're being saved from this world, right? We're being saved from it. So when I wear this helmet, it's almost like a daily reminder of this. There's more to this life than what is here. Now hear this too. There will be moments of trial and struggle still. But Jesus tells us to take heart, for I have overcome. Right? So Jesus' helmet is strong because he has overcome everything within this world. Nothing is stronger or bigger than him. And so he has overcome, yet we will still have moments where we will cave to pressures and stuff like that. But we can just truly stand tall all of the time in the things of Christ because he has conquered all the things of this world. He has overcome. So we can have faith and trust in that. What is it that we place our confidence in that is really going to help us stand against the things of this life and against the things of the enemy? And really, it's the resting of our hearts in our salvation. And that's why I really think That's the best way we can keep our head, not lose our cool, is by remembering that. When days get tough and things get bad, what's it going to be? It's remembering that this isn't it. This isn't all there is. There is more to life than this. So now we move in to our next point, which is protection from worldly fear. It says this, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We can stand fearlessly towards the things of this world, truly, because of Christ. Let me say this verse again. Through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Before I was in Christ, before I got to clothe myself with the identity of Christ, my mind and my eyes were fixed on the things of this world. So they had power to pull me and power to cause me to cradle and to try to control things. But once in Christ, and I entrust all of my life to Him, and I die, really, to living for the things of this world, the power that the things of this world can have over me begins to shrink. You know, I think of the song, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It's saying, turn your eyes upon Jesus. You know, the things of this world begin to become less and less as Christ becomes more and more. And the things that we used to seek for shrink. And that includes fear. I can genuinely say I don't know how long it's been since I've been... I genuinely am not afraid of death. You know, I really am not. If my life ended tomorrow, I'd feel real sorry for my family. But I'm not afraid of it. And that's because of the trust I have and the confidence I have in my salvation. I know that Jesus has me, and so I can be fearless. But here's what we can see. Things of this world. If I love money, you will fear for your money. If you love your job, you will fear for your job. If you love your health, you will fear for it. Anything that's tied to earthly situations and circumstances, or my heart or treasure is tied up, there my fear will be also. Right? My love and my fear both go there. But Jesus says, we don't have to do that. We don't have to be afraid anymore because that's not what we're about. And when I clothe myself with the identity of Jesus, that's what He tells us. The things of this world are no longer the main purpose of life. Rather, to live for Christ and to know Christ, which doesn't change today or for eternity. For the rest of my existence, which is eternal, that is the purpose. And that doesn't change upon circumstances. I don't know if you ever saw that story of the sons who wanted to surprise their mother with a brand new mattress. And so they went to her house and they took her old mattress, threw it in the garbage and put this new one. And when the mom got home, they went, ta-da, look at your new mattress, Mom. And she says, where's the old one? And they said, we threw it out. And she says, all of my life savings were in the mattress. And it made the news that there was a huge search out for this mattress because they wanted to reclaim the money. The money was never found. But you see, the sons took something and threw it out and the possessions were lost. Lost. If that's where the hope is, anything in this world, it can be lost. But what Christ gives, nobody can take away. Something I find very interesting is, keep in mind, in Ephesians 6, it says that we are in war, we are in a spiritual war, and we're fighting against the devil's schemes. Some of the devil's schemes that I see so clearly is how he tries to steal two names off of God. Love of God and fear of God. Two names that are only supposed to be for the Lord. Satan wants you to love anything but God, right? So he'll put all of the most glamorous things within the world for you to fix your eyes on and fall in love with. Because if you end up loving God, He loses His power over you. But not only that one, fear. He wants you to fear anything but the Lord. right? Don't recognize the true awe and power of God. Fear the things that you see before you. Those are two names Satan wants not placed on the Lord. So here it is. If he keeps those names off, it leaves us trapped. But when we give God those two names and those two things that are rightfully his, our love and our fear, they become redeemed. What I see is we don't even understand what it looks like to have fear redeemed. Why do I say that? Because even when we say the idea that we need to fear the Lord, the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord, right? What are we called to love? We're called to love God. Fear, if seen through the lens of this world, right? And remember, we're having the transformation of our mind. So God wants to redeem the way we even see fear. If we see through the lens of how the world portrays what fear looks like, placing that kind of fear on God seems weird. And that's where I almost feel you slip into religiosity and believing that God's a tyrant. But when we give God the idea and say, God, rewrite my mind of even what fear looks like, it becomes this idea of reverence and awe. You know, the God who created the biggest creatures this world has ever seen, the Megalodon, or go through the biggest dinosaurs that ever existed. He created those huge creatures, and yet he's bigger. You know, he's bigger than that, but he's a loving God. And so when we place fear, and he's the thing that essentially we say, you are the most powerful thing in the universe. You are. And we entrust it to him. Fear begins to look very different. And how we see life becomes very different because we just trust him. And when that happens, we become fearless. The helmet of salvation, the entrustment to this loving God who's going to take care of us, will help protect us then and say that, what does he say? How many times does God write, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear the things of this world? When we begin to see God for who he says he is, we don't need to be afraid then of the things of this world, and that shrinks. And then you can live that way and stand confidently on the hardest days because you know that Jesus has you, and you can't lose what he's given you. Yes, you could lose the things of this world, but nobody can take Jesus from you. If he's your main treasure, what do you have to fear? That's the question. So the helmet of salvation gives us that. It gives us that protection and assurance in that confidence. And then we move into the final piece that I would say we gain, that we're going to look at today, and it's the assurance and rest for our eternity of what is to come. You know, salvation. It gives me confidence in my eternal resting place, my home. You know, I made reference a little bit earlier there, talking about this idea of my home. And here's what I see. Have you ever had that moment where you just feel, I just don't belong here? I just don't belong. Something's off. Really, once we're in Jesus, he says we become aliens to this planet. You know, this isn't your home. This is not our final destination. And that is wonderful if we can be assured that we know of our resting place. And John 10, 28, 30 says this. It says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them from out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. That sounds pretty assuring, doesn't it? Once we're in Jesus, ain't nobody can touch it. He's the one who makes us a new creation. And we can rest in that. And we can have hope in that. One time I went down to L.A., and I was down there for a conference, and it was really like a healing conference. And we got told to take to the streets, find people to bring to this healing night, that we might pray for them and give them healing. And me and my mother-in-law found this guy with cerebral palsy and said, hey, you should come to this thing tonight. And so we brought him there, and I wanted to see this guy get healed physically. That's why we brought him. And we bring him in. And we take him to the front when it comes time for the healing. And when we pray for him, he's not healed. You know, the cerebral palsy is still there. He's an old man. And the cerebral palsy doesn't go away. But what I see while we're praying for him is tears begin to run down his face. And I ask him, like, what are you crying about? What do you see? And he says, I see myself running. I see myself running with Jesus. And we're smiling together. You know, he didn't receive the healing for today. But he was given the hope of what is to come. Revelations 21:4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We don't place the hope in the things today, but is of the things that are still to come. That's how you can stand tall. Because this world, which is finite and fleeting, and like the grass which is here today and gone tomorrow, is going to pass away. But our eternity of where we're going to be in our new home, our new heaven, our new earth will never pass away, where the sorrows and the trials are done. No more. But what I got to tell you is this. The salvation is found in one place and one place alone, and that is Jesus. He said he is the gateway. Only he gives us this salvation that is assured, this resting place that can allow me to make it through the hard days today, that will allow me to keep my head when the times get tough. Because I know that this life is for a moment, and that this world is broken. And in this broken world, I'm called to seek Christ, and there I'm going to have what I need, but I'm also called to give this assurance or tell others about this thing. This assurance of salvation. And that's in Jesus and Jesus alone. So I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know if you have made that statement. Maybe you have not yet surrendered your way of life and said, Christ, I want you. I want to be born again into a new creation. You can have this assurance and you can begin to live fearlessly. Not because of anything you do, but rather what Christ can do. It's his power, it's his armor that we get to wear. Let's pray, guys. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for this day. Jesus, I pray that we would not just see how salvation gives us hope one day when I die, but how it gives me strength for today. Is there something I trust in confidence that's not of you? I pray you would reveal it. Do I trust my finances, my family, my relationships more than you? Is there something that I fear, Lord, that I don't see that you're bigger than? That you are, that you have truly overcome. In the name of Jesus, I just pray freedom for those who have been living in fear. And I pray, God, for the strength to lay things before you and just trust your identity and victories are enough for the satisfaction of life and the things that I need. Thank you that I can be assured in your salvation. Love you, Lord Jesus.